busy, busy days over here. Everybody's working, working, working. We've got things to do, people to do, people to talk to. You know what people to do?
Ah.
Where that came from. A little more action-packed, people-wise. Joey Marasso.
Who's already Bolton.
From St. Clair Shores. He's back in St. Clair Shores already.
Apparently.
Mark's here from Berkeley. Brandon here from Rochester Hills. Jay from Plymouth. I'm Drew from Ferndale. This is the Drew and Mike Podcast. Part one. Yeah, we're going to actually try and do part one and two tonight like
we said
we were going to do back in the day.
Oh my God, that video's actually play. I got that video to actually play, Drew. The one that's been driving me nuts.
Oh, should we just play it while we can play it?
Because I don't know what it is.
It's some lunatic dancing at a celebration.
Well,
post-debate celebration.
No, Hillary was in town today. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
He's danced some guy. I guess he's a rep, a former rep, Phil Kavanaugh, was for some reason at her rally and decided to dance.
Okay.
All right, you ready?
I'm ready as I'll be to watch someone dance.
I guess it's just people waiting for her to get there. There's a girl behind him kind of jamming this part. It's not a dance. It's just like taking his hands and like he's doing push-ups. Ice is a thing.
Getting off a little bit. Help me.
Now look how many people have their phones out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
And he's not even doing anything.
Dude, now he's dancing to Katy Perry. Yeah, this guy's pumped to see Hillary speak. Oh, he's singing along.
I cannot imagine why someone would take hours out of their day to go see a politician speak. I swear, I don't care who it is. I don't care what the occasion.
I don't get it either. Oh my gosh, you see that? Did you see that part?
Yeah.
Him miming or lip syncing along, doing the big roar. Wow,
Does this guy think he's on camera? I mean, is he trying to create a moment there?
I guess that'd be the only reason for him dancing, right?
unless he's just getting off so much on the tunes that.
Well, I'd rather he's dancing because he thinks the camera's on him as opposed to getting off on a Katy Perry song.
That crazy dancing with my penis soft.
Me too.
Everybody's big penis time. At Wayne State was soft today.
It's going to take something miraculous to get it going again. I'm going to tell you after that. Bill Clinton was heckled today also.
Yeah.
As part of the post-debate activities.
Yeah, what a wonderful country, huh?
Yes, aren't we all proud to be Americans today?
It's ridiculous.
It was a lovely display of democracy last night.
I know. It was whatever. I guess we just accept it for what it is now.
Yeah, it's a matchup of the two worst presidential candidates possibly. Well, definitely the worst combination. The total quality of the two candidates has got to be the worst combined. And maybe the two worst period. I don't know. Hard to measure such things.
You want to hear Billy get heckled?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Sorry, Jay. Jay's running around like a maniac.
Nobody can dispute the fact that we need.
If you couldn't hear it, Bill's saying, nobody can dispute the fact, and someone goes, that you're a racist.
Rapist.
I'm sorry. I say racist.
Yeah.
Yeah, rapist.
I just love the way he completed the sentence. That really had an added effect, I think.
He's got great timing. By this guy and the other guy that joins in.
Nobody can dispute the fact that we need.
Someone stole his hat.
Someone stole his hat.
Yeah, did you see that?
Thank you.
Knocked it right off his
head. Is it getting physical like those mean people at Trump rallies?
Don't worry about it.
Oh, I think stealing hats is a little different.
I thought that only happened at Trump rallies.
Hat stealing or punching?
You gotta feel sorry for him.
Well, it's being getting in someone's physical space.
So they're trying to make it up. Give me my hand.
I mean, people at Trump rallies are getting beaten up when they left the rally too, but nobody cared about that.
Thank you. Now let me say, this is what
guy's still yelling. Bill Clinton's a rapist.
When other people pour poison down your throat. Don't drink
Bill, no one's listening to you.
Back good.
They're trying to get this guy out of here.
Nice comeback, Bill. You know, Bill should be like a stand-up at this point. He should have so many comebacks for all these things. They've been out there for so long. By the way, I watched Juanita Broderick today. That is a really chilling video of her describing what Bill Clinton did her. If it's true, I just don't even know what to think when I watch it because she's completely convincing. Have you seen the new one she did where Kathryn Willey hugs her at the end, the other assault victim?
Probably not, no.
It was on Drudge, and I can't say I'm an expert at judging whether someone's telling the truth about a rape. She took a lie detector. So did Paula Jones, by the way. Mm-hmm. Paula Jones passed her lie detector, and of course they wanted Bill Clinton to take one. He did not. Can't be used in court law anyway. But Juanita Broderick, if she was a witness in a court, if this were to go to court for some reason, I think she'd be a damn good witness. I just am trying to figure out what would compel someone to make up a story like that and tell it repeatedly and cry her eyes out, which she...
Nothing. I totally believe her. I tend to side on the people that...
I'm inclined...
make claims because it'd be so hard. Why would anybody make it up?
Well, he's got a dick that's clearly out of control. I mean, anybody who's the president of the United States... married with a daughter who has a really reckless fling with a 20-year-old intern. I mean, that's crazy. Obviously, your dick is running the show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, clearly. And some of the chances he took making phone calls from foreign countries to talk shit with her. I mean, it's really incredible. And, it blows my mind, too. I could not help but note the hypocrisy. Not that Donald Trump has anything to be proud of about what he did, but just the self-righteous outrage of certain people who approved of Bill Clinton and defended him and said, well, if Hillary thinks it's okay, then it's nobody's business.
Well, they're wrong. I mean, it's everybody's business.
Of course it is. It's just incredible to me that depending on what candidate you support, you respond to a certain thing.
They're both idiots.
Pathetic.
They're both philandering assholes.
Yep.
It was funny watching GMA with Dan Abrams. I was telling you a little bit about this, but he's got his new website, and he's like, I tweeted out, because he did this big interview with, what's her name, the girl? Jill Harth.
Oh, yeah, the new, she's the one that says she was assaulted by Donald Trump, even though she
actually
she writes him this year and says she's on Team Trump and she wants to work for him.
Yeah, well...
And she dated him, too.
She dated him afterwards, too, but she still sued him. But the funny thing to me was Dan Abrams was like, I tweeted about this. Nobody cares. And then it turns out, because he's got his new website going, Law News, and it's N-E-W-Z.
And no one cares?
I don't think he really cares that this happened or not. I think he really cares that nobody's going to my new website, Law News. Did you see him talking about that?
No, I didn't see that.
I don't know. It made me chuckle.
I went through most of today's show. I did watch some of GMA. I feel like I'm watching the same shows as you, and for some reason, nothing is going in my brain. I'm just not absorbing it at all.
I like the talking heads they have on GMA. I hate the anchors, like George and Robin. I can't stand them. I don't like Strahan, obviously. Jesse Palmer was on today. I can't
Jesse
stand
Palmer was talking about the debate.
No, he was just on there being a pretty face.
I know. I'm not a big Jesse Palmer fan.
He didn't even see the debate because he would have been flying back from the game he did. Remember, he did Georgia, South Carolina on Sunday.
Right on. Well, anyway, yeah, there was certainly a lot to hash about. And you know who's really... I'll tell you who's really... It's funny. You can tell sometimes the people that are really bugged by Trump. Savannah Guthrie just... despises Trump. Yeah, so does Matt Lauer, too. Matt, I think, is a little better at hiding it.
And NBC does. We know Katie Turd does. We know, Hallie's pretty, she's pretty good. So I would never know which way Hallie went.
Anyway, there were some other things surrounding this whole debacle of Sunday night. I'll just call it a debacle. I don't know what else to call it. Carrie Fisher says Donald Trump, she's an expert on cocaine use. Mm-hmm. She was an addict, and she says Donald Trump is a cocaine user.
Cocaine addict?
I shouldn't say if he's an addict or not. And this would, of course, be the perfect place to listen to our dear friend.
Larry.
Yes. On the Larry King Show. There was a kind of a to-do over the Tiffany and Donald ducking each other's kisses after the debates.
I didn't think she was there. Apparently, she was sitting with the in-laws.
She didn't make the family box.
No, she was sitting with, like, Don Jr. And Eric's wives. How insulting.
The assault victims, too. The Bill Clinton assault victims were in her group.
Isn't that a little weird?
Well, I guess only so many people could fit in the family box.
I think that's weird. Really, they couldn't fit one more seat in there?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Poor Tiffany.
Well, she had a boyfriend with her, too, whose family are registered Democrats.
Well, that's fine. The boyfriend can sit with the in-laws, but that's his daughter. I mean, you got to admit, it's a little weird how she's never mentioned. It's always the three, and then maybe sometimes Barron because he's 10.
Well, she's kind of in between, though, age-wise. She's not old enough to be part of his operation, part of his blind trust.
Still his daughter.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought it was weird.
And then there was this WikiLeaks thing, which is funny because it's a conversation between Bill Clinton's closest advisor and some other people and some businesses they're kind of intermingled with. One of them is a company Bill Clinton's on the board, makes $50,000 a month, by the way.
Cool. I'm sure it's worth
it. Tenio, I think it is. Oh, yeah. I'm sure he contributes mightily. God, the Clintons and the money, it's just incredible. They have been, I mean, for politicians to make that kind of money, what do? They give a speech.
Yeah.
That's all they do.
Yep.
And sit on boards. And Chelsea Clinton, she sits on boards too.
Yeah.
For over $300,000 a year, one board that meets, I think they said, six times a year. Good for her. I'm sure she's very qualified.
Outside of sitting on boards and doing the NBC gig, has she had a real job? Because she's highly educated. I mean, she's got, you know, she went to a bunch of different schools.
You should hear the
real job.
You should hear the horse shit that she spews in this back and forth between this close advisor of Bill Clinton's and her and someone else. Anyway, she apparently is a real pain in the ass to these people. She's trying to stir shit up all the time. Like, oh, I've got to report this to my dad. And they're like, hey, relax, bitch. You know, we've got it taken care of. We're experts. You know, you're just a little putzy kid.
Report what to her dad?
Oh, just that she has bad feelings about something going on with... I could read it to you. It's yeah, I should actually read just a small chunk of it just so you can hear how pompous... You can hear how smart she thinks she is. I think she writes this with a thesaurus at her side. You know, people that try to use big words just to impress. That's what it sounds like. Anyway, he calls her a spoiled brat in one of these texts or emails. And also that one of these people who were involved in this discussion is apparently literally near suicide. I mean, they're actually talking about committing suicide, and they're being helped by a couple other people who are part of this, who are trying to get a hold of her psychiatrist. And Chelsea Clinton just does not give a flying bleep.
She probably would have her murdered like her mom.
Well, that'd make 34 because they've already killed 33 that we know of. Yeah, he says, Bob, I'm sure Chelsea's more concerned with a mostly false story in the distinguished New York Post about MF Global and Tenio, not her role in what happened to Laura. What she is doing to the organization or the several of stories that appeared in the New York Post about her father and a multitude of women over the years. I honestly could not understand what the hell she's talking about here. In an email dated December 11, 2011, Chelsea Clinton writes to a number of people in the Clinton's inner circle, including John Podesta, current Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe. Can you imagine these powerful people having to deal with this stupid kid?
Yeah.
And others, and shares that two people separately approached her in London and voiced their concerns about Tenio. This is where Bill's on the board. For $50,000 a month.
Huh.
One Tenio employee apparently called members of the House and members of Parliament on behalf of President Clinton for Tenio clients without my father's knowledge and inelegantly and ineffectually at best and at worst has now precipitating people in London making comparisons between my father and Tony Blair's profit motivations, Chelsea discloses.
Probably true.
Which would horrify my father. But inelegantly and ineffectually at best? I mean, that sentence doesn't really make sense. It's kind of a run-on sentence. I'm speaking at an Innovations in Governance conference today here in Oxford and flying back later this afternoon. I will raise all of this and more with my father this evening. Wanted to update you all in the meanwhile about my augmented concerns post-London and the below. My augmented concerns?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was the... That was one of the, I think, the main thrust of the WikiLeaks item of the day.
The new ones?
Yeah. Also...
You think that's Russia doing it?
What do I know?
Well, Trump says it's not, although every security agency says it is.
Now, I kept seeing this. You said this is a couple days old. We haven't played it on the podcast, and I saw it for the first time today about six times. Robert De Niro...
Yeah.
Just blasting Donald Trump. Can you bring that up? De Niro blast Trump. Sorry. We had something else queued up. But we might as well just...
Is it more Ken Bone?
Get through this stuff.
Ken Bone.
We're going to get to Coachella in a minute here, which is really cool. A little rock and roll.
Blatantly stupid. He's a punk. He's a dog. He's a pig. He's a con, a bullshit artist, a mutt who doesn't know what he's talking about, doesn't do his homework, doesn't care, thinks he's gaming society, doesn't pay his taxes. He's an idiot. Colin Powell said it best. He's a national disaster. He's an embarrassment to this country. It makes me so angry that this country has gotten to this point, that this fool, this bozo, has wound up where he has.
He talks how
he wants to punch people in the face. Well... I'd like to punch him in the face. This is somebody that we want for
president.
I'd love
to see those guys those
I don't
two
think
fight.
So.
I know.
What I care about is the direction of this country. And what I'm very, very worried about is that it might go in the wrong direction with someone like Donald Trump. If you care about your future, vote for it.
Is that a commercial?
Ooh. Well, yeah, who put it out?
What is that? I mean, he's being shot on film.
Yeah, so who put it out?
In black and white.
Like, what's what? Did he? I assume he didn't put it out on his own Facebook.
I have
live.
No idea. I don't know. Huh. It's just the thing about it, it's shot so professionally. And also, I noticed it was very close to 60 seconds. Like, it's going to run somewhere.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if she has that in an ad.
Well, he swears.
Well, that part can be edited out. Like they can this. Edit that part out and put the part of Trump going, she's a fighter. I really admire that and put that in the end.
Sure. Wrong.
Well, I don't know if she'll put that in the ad.
You know, I don't know. I don't like the way this is going, where people like Robert De Niro are basically suggesting that if you vote for the person they don't like, that you're an asshole.
Yeah.
Or that the person is not entitled to be president or not worthy of being. He's the candidate. He won the primary. So he is the guy. Hillary Clinton's going to say all she wants. But, I mean, as far as... us who are trying to survive in the world, for us to be getting in fights with each other and, you know, people being excluded from families or friendship groups over this stupid election, I think is just ridiculous.
It is. It is something that really isn't going to affect your life that much.
Probably not. And I don't know. I just think it's people have a lot of motivations. People have a lot of reasons for not liking or liking the person they do. And I think it's unfair for people to just decide that, this person is wrong, and you're wrong, and I'm mad at you because you're so wrong, and if you like him, then you're for all these other things, and if you like her, then you're a liar, or whatever the hell you are. I don't know. I just hate the way this whole election is going. I've noticed this.
Over.
There's more and more hatred in each election. It seems successively everyone gets worse.
You can thank the 24-hour news cycle on cable TV, and you can thank the internet now. People can just have
well, there's a few people
confirmation
are,
bias up the ass now.
Who are helping the process.
What do you mean?
Oh, there's a lot of shit stirs in the whole mix. Should we get Billy Bush in here, too?
Sure.
We're supposed to call the guy that rode his boat across Lake Michigan.
Did Brandon tell you about Ken Bone?
What about Ken Bone?
I thought
Bone?
He made contact with him.
He did?
Oh, I thought he told you.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Brandon! He's probably out.
Brando.
He's out smoking right now.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a different number than yesterday for the Bonester.
Did he set something up?
I don't know. That's why I want to know where he went. He's probably outside smoking.
Ken Bone is the slightly overweight gentleman who asked a question in the debate last night under the moniker Kenneth Bone.
I think it's
better
best
known as Ken Bone.
They described him best as a human hug, the embodiment of a hug.
Yeah, I think that's well said.
He's adorable. He did an interview this morning, too, as we speculated he might.
Well, should we take a look at...
Here's Billy Bush.
At Billy Bush, and then I guess we should watch Ken Bone on CNN. All right, might as well just roll all the debate stuff out, get it out of the way.
Trump. Here, I'll back it up.
and Hillary is completing women's 100-year quests to get to the Oval Office. It kind of makes
can't wait
sense
this election's
that
over.
This would be the final
has provided a lot of good comedy, though.
Yeah, this is now, fun. It's funny stuff, actually. This is okay.
And now, I'll look back at Billy Bush's creepy bromance with Donald Trump.
Joining us also from Palm Beach right now is Access Hollywood's Billy Bush, who's a good friend of the Donald and his bride-to-be and is among the invited guests tonight. Billy, good morning to you.
You ready to get going?
Certainly ready.
All right, let's get this party started. The man is here.
Who has more access to you, me or Melania?
I would say you have slightly more access. They certainly want me, and they should want me. I'm a ratings machine.
If I don't know, that's Billy Bush. No! There's something wrong.
Are you in disguise prepared mentally, physically, to take over as president of the United States?
Well, physically, I'm prepared. I'm in very good shape, as you can see. Very powerful man. And mentally, perhaps I'm not prepared. Do I make him laugh? Is he like this with everybody?
His laugh seems so fake.
Bush's outgoing phone message.
You've reached Billy Bush's office. He's busy making America great again. Please leave a message.
Come on, Billy, let's go.
I didn't know they were that tight or that
moving
friendly.
On.
I've seen him do quite a few things together.
Yeah, he's like
Obama,
the perfect host for.
So to being able to smoke again.
Isn't there something else in here
we
need to fast
cameras.
Forward to?
He's like the perfect host for Access Hollywood, isn't he?
Yeah.
Just kind of just weenie enough, right?
Yeah.
Let's get the Bush name.
And he's, I think he has his way of getting along with people, making people like him. But he has good questions,
must
I think.
Must be that infectious laugh.
I got off to a real rough start with Billy Bush. I thought he was a complete weasel, which he is. He's very
is.
Much of a weasel.
Yeah.
But I found
a likable weasel, I suppose.
Over time, he's a little more likable than I thought. And he does ask. He somehow manages to squeeze those questions out. What about him being creepy? Remember the thing of him being creepy with celebrities?
Oh, you want to watch that one
too, yeah. Is that worth it? I don't know.
Yeah, because he said to the lady in the infamous Grab Him by the Pussy video that, how about a hug for Bushy?
Oh, boy. Bushy.
Third-person nickname reference.
Oh, what's that? What was this on? Oh, on John Oliver?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, we were just watching, yeah.
And we will get to Coachella coming up. Also, this guy that rode across Lake Michigan, rode his boat across Lake Michigan, ROW.
Yeah, why did he do it?
He did it for charity, which is great.
Oh.
But at the same time, when someone is saying that they're going to complete a task as dramatic as rowing across Lake Michigan, I think someone has to make sure that they're really doing it, that there aren't three guys taking turns. There's a little motor on the boat for when things get a little slow, that, you know, it's not a 40-foot rowboat with, 10-foot walls with 20 other people rowing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, somebody has to make sure these people are being straight. And, you know, I think people have questioned our motives sometimes. Did we really need to ask these questions? Yeah. I think someone has to.
It's got
to
be genuine.
Did you talk to Ken Bone?
Talked to his dad.
You did?
You talked to
Ken
Papa Bone's
Bone? Dad?
Darren Bone.
How
Daddy,
cool.
Daddy Bone.
What was Darren Bone like?
He was great. He told me the first thing he said was, make America bone again or something.
He said that?
Yeah. But then he said he's been flooded with calls from Ellen, and then he just started rattling off all these.
So he's proud of, is he proud of Ken Bone big time?
I think he's proud of the fact that his son's getting all this recognition, and it's because they love him. The American people
love
him.
Oh, no, there's nothing
absolutely.
To not.
No, he's a lovable guy.
He's kind of a character.
No doubt.
He was
so
hilarious this morning on CNN. He kind
of have
gets
on CNN?
It.
Should we just throw that in while we're on this?
Whatever you want to play. It's
why
all,
not? Might as well let it all out.
Sorry.
No, it's look okay. At so can we talk to him?
He did give us his cell phone number.
Bonies?
He gave us Ken's cell phone number. However,
well, let's
Ken
do that.
Is extremely busy today.
But nobody's calling him tonight. I would think we'd probably
yeah.
be in a position to call him.
Well, he actually just got tickets to go to Fenway Park for tonight, so I'm not sure if they're
why?
I don't know. Joe Kelly of the Red Sox.
The game's starting right now. How's he getting on there? What do you mean?
Well, he's going to be there with his phone.
Come on, Bone. Yeah, he's got a cell phone. What's he going to do between innings but talk to us?
The cell phone.
The middle innings get boring. You can take a couple innings off to talk to us.
He's Ken Bone, for crying out loud. He'll talk to anybody.
He can do whatever he wants.
All All right, here he is from CNN. This is on my computer, Jay, from CNN with Carol. Oh, you got it over there? All right, go ahead.
I see you're still wearing your red sweater.
I don't see how I could not have worn the red sweater this morning.
Because you wore it last night, Bone.
It's Tell more famous than me. I just had to bring myself along.
Can you believe you've become an internet sensation?
Ooh, that joke bombed.
I went from last night having 7 Twitter followers, 2 of which were my grandmother because she had to remake her account when she forgot her password.
I'm a Bone.
Now I have several hundred. I don't know why they care what I have to say, but
37,000 now.
In the political process.
Well, I think they thought you were quite charming. In fact, you told my booker, Nyjah, why you chose to wear that red sweater. Can you share with us?
Yeah, I had a really nice olive suit that I love a great deal, and my mother would have been very proud to see me wearing on television. But apparently I've gained about 30 pounds, and when I went to get in my car the morning of the debate, I split the seat of my pants all the way open.
Bone!
So the red sweater is plan B.
What a boner, yeah. Boner. Bone puddle boner.
See, that's why people love you on the internet, because you're refreshingly honest.
No, because he's a goofball.
In a campaign season where voters don't think either candidate is especially honest, so...
Where's all right. The rest of it? Oh, man. So,
wait, what happened? They clipped it?
I see you're still wearing your red sweater.
Oh. At the
I,
end,
was it? I don't see how I could not have worn
it. Oh, fuck it. Just forget it. We're going to talk to him anyway.
Okay.
We don't need it.
At the end, though, she asks him, there's some internet poll about what makes Ken Bone so great. And it's like 33% the red sweater. 33% his question, 33% something else, and 1% was power mustache. And Ken Bone was really bummed out that his power stash only got 1%. He actually said something to the effect of, well, I think the mustache should have got a few higher percentage points. So he's got a good sense of humor.
Guy by the name of, what's the guy's name rowing the boat?
I completely forgot. I gave Joey all my information. I just realized.
Jacob Beckley. Okay. He was helping, I think he's been involved in a number of charitable efforts.
Yeah.
Relating to cancer, and particularly in this case, it was a neighbor who I think had blastoma, some horrific kind of cancer. Their child died in 2013, and they were in St. Joseph's. So I'm not sure he lives in St. Joseph's or what, but he's rowing from St. Joseph's, or he rowed from St. Joseph's across Lake Michigan. I don't know if that's a short. I mean, my geography's terrible. Is that a long distance across Lake Michigan?
I thought St. Joseph, Michigan was like in the middle of the state. It's not.
Well, it's kind of what I thought. Okay. I mean, it doesn't seem like the longest way you could go across Lake Michigan. Not that I want to, you know, I don't know. He probably rode a number of miles.
I would have done it right at the bottom of Lake Michigan, just gone like a mile. Because still technically, right? It's like a curve.
Yeah, you could technically call that rowing across Lake Michigan, kind of.
I'm always looking for a technicality. Oh, he basically did do what I said.
It's a shortcut. It's a bit of a shortcut. He could have gone from Milwaukee to Muskegon, and I think that would have been significantly longer.
St. Joe's is basically Benton Harbor.
Well, let's see.
Hello, this is Jake Beckley.
Jacob.
Hello.
Jacob,
how's it going?
It's Drew and Mark calling from the Drew and Mike podcast. How are you doing?
Great. How are you guys doing?
Good. Are you recovering from your rowing adventure, or have you recovered?
I'm still recovering. I've been in a lot of pain over the past couple of days.
Whoa.
So it's going to be a long road.
Was that physically? It beat you up that physically? Like,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. My body just feels like I went through a battle.
And 20 hours of rowing, and now, you know, usually with these things, there's rules like you get to rest for, maybe, you know, 2 minutes an hour, or you take an hour off every 5 hours. What were the rules for this in order to make it to say that you rowed across Lake Michigan? What? How do you handle it? Because I mean, nobody can just row for 20 straight hours. Obviously, I wouldn't think.
Well, I did. But what I ended up doing was I would take breaks every 30 minutes. I would have an alarm set, and at the 30-minute mark, I would hydrate. So I had pre-mixed bottles of carbohydrates, amino acids, glutamine, different types of hydration formulas. And I would take one of those at the 30-minute intervals, and then
sounds like quite a concoction.
A few minutes, and then keep going.
Now, did you have a doctor on board with you, or would that be a lot of weight to row? Probably would make it harder, I guess.
On my boat, it was just myself.
Oh, wait, there were multiple. Was this a fleet of boats or what?
No, it was a, yes, I was the only rower, but there was a chase boat.
Okay.
And the chase boats had a two captains, EMT, and my wife. And, yeah, that was one of the conditions for doing this.
Did you ever chase the chase boat and just grab onto it and just for a mile or so?
No.
No,
not
a little toe.
No.
Okay.
No, I wish I should have done something like that, but I did. I did get off onto the chase boat three times.
What? I'm appalled.
Yeah. Wait, that counts?
I know. I had to. I mean, my back was.
Oh.
Did you need a back rub or some physical therapy or something?
And what? Laid.
Oh, you just laid out.
I laid up. Yeah, laid on the deck of the boat with my back against the deck and just.
Oh God! Now what happened to the rowboat? Where was the? Was it just floating away?
No, I ended up tethering it to the back of the boat.
Now was the chase boat moving at the time you were stretching out your back?
No. It was anchored. Stationary.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Part of the. I guess the rules that I set is that I didn't want any support and needed to. Not even idle. It was engines off.
Oh, cool. Now, you know, when you do something like that, obviously, you know, you're raising money for charity, so everybody's delighted that you're able to do something like that. But, I mean, the rules have to be made, some kind of rules, so that people say, oh, it is really an amazing feat. But who does make the rules? I mean, is there some rowing commission that, you know, determines how to, you know, set how that sets up, like you hydrate every 30 minutes? Or do you make those rules up yourself, or how does that work?
No, I made all that up myself. I thought it would... I thought it would help, so I kind of made it up on the fly. I did actually have some support from other rowers who were kind of guiding me, and personal fitness trainers who were giving me some advice. And one of the rowers who supported me was Jen Gibbons, who rowed around Lake Michigan.
Oh, Gibby, yeah.
It's like, yeah, she rowed 1,500 miles.
Did.
Yeah.
And she said I was crazy for rowing across. And
she just doesn't want her thing to be challenged in the smallest regard.
Hey, I can never challenge that. I mean, 1,500 miles
in 4 months.
That's crazy.
I'm trying to remember the rules for what she did. I think she had some rules too.
I think she's trying to demean Jake's 65 miles by saying, "Oh, that's crazy. I wouldn't do that." Where here she did. What did she say? 1,500.
What makes hers look
1,500?
That's what I mean.
Makes hers look all the more outrageous. So
yeah,
I mean,
Jacob, it really was.
It's just marketing. Yeah. I mean, you got to market yourself. Why not?
At Jacob's expense.
How much money did you raise, Jacob?
Actually, just over 20,000, and we're still collecting donations. But the actual tally ends on the 14th.
Well, congratulations! That's fantastic, and I know you had a motivation and somebody in St. Joseph's who had tragically lost a child, and you've done a lot of work.
Yeah.
For cancer, so
can you still donate?
Yeah,
where can you donate?
Yeah, you can still donate if you go to row4acure.com with the number 4.
Okay,
and up there I have a lot of videos and a blog of the boat build because I built my own
Ooh!
Boat. Which was
there's
a challenge in itself.
There's video of you rowing across Lake Michigan.
Yeah, there's video up there, and
are people finding that scintillating?
Yeah.
Right. It's not the most exciting thing to watch, probably.
What are you most proud of? The actual rowing, or that you built the boat yourself?
I think, a little bit of both. I think the boat build is by far it was definitely challenging.
Now,
the row itself was only a small portion of time.
Yeah, I almost forgot about the fact that he built the boat. But, you know, because I was thinking about this, you know, when you think of a rowboat, you think of just this little thing that's, you know, foot high on each side.
Yeah.
You know, takes in water very easily. What kind of a boat did you build yourself?
It's a cross between a canoe and a kayak. It's called a row cruiser expedition. And so I got the plans from this.
Sounds sporty.
Did you name that yourself?
No. The plans I got them from this guy out in Canada, Vancouver. And he was National Geographic's Adventure of the Year, Colin Angus.
Ooh.
And
Colin Anus?
So he's rode all over the place with it. He rode from Scotland to Syria in it. He rode across the English Channel.
Colonel Angus.
You know what's really funny about this?
Colin.
No, not Colonel.
To find out that there's this rowing community. I mean, you just don't think of rowing as being a large group of people who are intermingled. But, of course, why wouldn't there be a rowing community? So anyway, the boat was, is there something special about it that helps you keep it from capsizing, or the something about the structure?
It was supposed to not capsize, but it did.
Oh, it did.
Oh, who made that? Who made that piece of junk?
Yeah. Oh, it's crap.
Yeah, I'm never following Colonel Angus's instructions.
The boat worked well, but then at the very end, I was coming into Chicago and I hit some 6 to 8 foot waves.
Ooh.
And they started to turn. Yeah. But no, it started to turn. The waves turned and they were coming sideways into me. And next thing I know, this whole thing was capsized.
Oh, wow.
And I'm not a swimmer. I'm not even a rower. So this was quite an ordeal for me.
So what kind of junk flew out of the boat when it capsized? I mean, because that's always the worst thing about it is it just crap is everywhere floating around in the water.
All the wrappers from the food you got from the towboat.
Hopefully you had your water wings on.
Yeah. Yeah, everything. I lost everything. Thankfully, everything that was tethered stayed, but I lost everything else.
Did your phone get wet?
No, I had it inside of a protective case. I had a radio that was tethered. I had a speaker that was tethered. So everything that was tethered stayed, lost everything else.
Well, you were listening to the radio.
I was. Well, I offline Spotify.
Ah, okay. So
I had
Spotify.
Had some music.
I get it.
Yeah.
I mentioned, I'm not sure if I was joking or not, but, I mentioned the water wings. But, I mean, what were you doing as far as, were you wearing some kind of a flotation device or do you have something?
Yeah, I had I know the lingo now. I had a PFD on, which is a personal flotation device.
Whoa.
And, I'm definitely in on the lingo. And, I was wearing one of those.
That's
and,
right up there
I
with
had,
UCD.
UCD? What is UCD?
Urinary control device. It's basically an astronaut diaper. Remember that, that crazy astronaut that
actually,
drove?
Actually, funny, but I did actually think about getting some sort of like catheter or something put in.
So why, just for the joy of having it put in?
Oh, yeah, it's just always fun. Yeah.
How about just a diaper? A UCD. Yeah. That's what it is, a UCD, right? Is
that if I know anything, if you go in the water, you got to have a PFD and a UCD.
Hell
both
yeah.
of them.
Yeah.
Both devices.
Yeah, no, actually, that was one of my biggest challenges was bathroom. Because I was drinking all of this crap. I was drinking these carbs and this amino and stuff. And
get
I had to go all
meal.
The time. Well, the problem was that towards the end, when the water got really, really, really rough, I couldn't let go of the oars. And if I did, I would have flipped. So I'm like, oh, shit, what do I do? Wow. And, you can imagine what happened, but I guess that's what happens in triathlons and marathons.
Yeah, I'm looking at that boat. That I don't know. I pictured something. I mean, that boat looks like it could easily capsize to me, but, I mean, there must be something in the structure that makes it less likely to capsize,
it's
I suppose.
It's got those, what are they, ballast or what are the things?
Those things on the side or on top that you see, those were these things called outriggers, and I could put those up or down. And I ended up, when the water did get rough, I ended up putting them on the lowest or the highest setting.
Mm-hmm.
And that would kind of give some balance if the waves were going to make me tip over.
But still not enough.
But it wasn't enough. Not when you're facing sideways in an 8 foot wave.
Oh, of course.
Was there just the one capsizing or was it more than once?
No, it was just that one time. Other than that, the first part of the trip, the whole middle of the trip, it was actually pretty smooth out there. A lot smoother than I thought it would have been.
Hey, when the chase boat was right behind you when you capsized, of course, did somebody from the chase boat dive in dramatically to rescue you when you really probably didn't need rescuing?
No, that would have been cool, but no.
No, okay.
No, I ended up...
They saw that he had his PFD on.
Yeah.
He knew he was okay.
Yeah, my PFD and my
UCD.
Except
they saw his UCD got really big because it absorbed all the water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. That's a lot of money raised for cancer. Great cause. We just, when people do stuff like this, we like to make sure that, it's above board, and it sure sounds like a hell of an effort on your part. You're still recovering. And
it's legit.
Yeah, legit as hell. Congratulations again, Jacob.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Great talking to you, and good luck in your future endeavors.
All right.
Okay,
care.
Man.
Thank
Thanks
you,
a lot.
Jacob.
All right. Bye-bye.
Jacob Beckley.
Bye-bye.
Rode across Lake Michigan, not at the longest point, but it's significant. Actually, it really wasn't that much shorter. I mean, you could go the up and down way, You could go the long way.
You could also do Gary, Indiana to Michigan City, Indiana, and call it. Aren't those the two cities you pass on the way to Chicago that are in Indiana that are very, very bottom of Lake Michigan?
He could have done that. Yeah, I guess he would have passed those.
The thing I love about it is that he's like, I don't know anything about rowing.
Well, it's like, I wonder how
you really need to know. Barely don't need to know. No, much about rowing.
No one needs to know anything about rowing. Oh. Everyone's rowed a boat, right?
I would think. Although it sounds like it beat him up pretty hard.
Yeah, I mean, what could you learn about rowing? I mean, how soon to put the oars in the water to get maximum propulsion?
The code names for things, the PFDs.
Yeah.
Instead of a life jacket, it's a PFD.
Speak the language.
Yeah.
The stern and the bow.
PFD.
Which one's which? In the rowboat.
So stupid.
Does a rowboat technically have a stern and a bow?
Yeah.
It does?
Does it have an aft?
What's that?
Isn't that the back of the boat? What's the back of the boat?
Or an aft.
Aft, not asp. Aft. Yeah. I don't know. What are you, a boater, Jay?
No.
Sounds like it.
No.
You knew what PFD was.
Yeah.
I see. Well, congratulations. That's great. Ken Bone, meanwhile.
I know. I'm on pins and needles adventures. For Bone.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
I'm ready to get on Bone.
Should we just try Bone now just to see? I mean, try multiple times and see sure. if we get lucky.
I got a song for Bone, too. Can you pop me up, Jay? Have you heard this new song?
It's pretty sweet. I am officially running.
We heard this new hit.
For President of the United States.
It's number 10 with a bullet.
I did try and fuck her. She was married.
Yeah, I'm actually a nice person.
I moved in her like
this is actually
bitch.
The second mix of this phrase that I've seen.
She's totally changed her life.
She's the girl's hot as shit.
Pushy.
Whoa. Yes. Whoa.
I win. Mexico pays. Come on, I'm really smart.
I know China very well.
That was locker room talk.
Brody Adams is disgusting. Both inside and out. You take a look at her, she's a slob. She talks like a truck driver.
Oh, don't put Rosie O'Donnell stuff in there.
But it's not the chubbiness. Rosie is a
they need to up the vocals, don't they? Get the vocals higher in the mix.
If I were running with you, I'd fire Rosie.
You want to hear the other one? I think the other one's a little more catchy.
I just want to hear something with the vocals louder.
I kind of wanted to get to the hook, all right. I'll kill that one, Jane. You can put me up now.
Freedom. I can't handle
remember
this.
These girls that did the Donald Trump song?
Freedom brings call.
You don't remember them?
Yeah, faintly.
They mixed them in with Trump. Pretty sweet beat. A little repetitive.
Yeah, it seems they don't move on from this. Okay. I think I get it.
Nobody understands it.
Ooh, the song's got some bass.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
So I really like the other song. I just couldn't hear Trump that well.
So stupid.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
So
okay.
Stupid.
So the Donald Trump hit parade. Now, I guess we should give Bone a try.
He'll pick
because
up.
We only
He's
call
Bone.
Him late, and we could have reached him earlier. We'll be crushed.
He knows he needs to capitalize on his 15 minutes.
Sure he does.
Right?
And when he sees the Detroit area code, he's going to know it's one of the major markets is a calling. And guys, I got to take time out.
Bone knows area codes.
Bone knows the market.
Yeah, right. Too far, that's definitely the Detroit area.
Bone has had hours, literally hours today, to study the effect he's having on the planet and how to take best advantage of it.
It sounds like he's bummed, though, that his mustache is getting pounded upon.
Ken, can I help you?
Bone!
Ken Bone? Ken?
Yeah, what can I do for you?
Hey, it's Drew and Mark calling from our broadcast here in Michigan.
Hi, nice to speak to you. I'm sorry, what was your name?
It's Drew and Mark. And
hi, Drew and Mark. It's really great to talk to you.
Nice talking to you. We've had a radio show here, and we're doing a podcast now in the Detroit area. We've been here for quite a while, and we saw you last night in the debate, and we just were so darn excited. I mean, your name got our attention right away, and then, of course, there was a lot of tension on you after the debate, and we just kind of had a feeling you were going to blow up, Ken.
Well, I did not have the same feeling before this happened, but I'm really glad that I have at least this short window to get a message out there about sparking the energy debate and also encouraging young people to make their voice heard and to please get out and register to vote.
Bone, it's all about you now, though, my man.
Yeah, we don't care about that
Nobody
stuff.
Nobody cares about Trump or Clinton anymore. It's all about Ken Bone.
I can't necessarily disagree with that. I am a raging egotist, and all of my friends and family can tell you. And I love talking about me.
Yeah, we got a good laugh this morning when you told the story about splitting your pants on the way to work.
Did you fix them yet?
I really wish that I could tell you that I made that up, but I didn't. I have the pants in the car with me now. I'm going to do Jimmy Kimmel, and I think you might want to see them. I'm wearing the red sweater that I don't think I'm allowed to take off anymore.
No.
That story is absolutely true, and I don't know why I decided to share it with the whole world.
Oh, it's so funny. No, it's really funny. Where did the red...
who you are, Bone.
The red sweater, of course, is the item you just mentioned. Where did the sweater come from? Is it a Christmas gift, birthday gift?
I bought this red sweater 2 years ago for my my first nephew's baptism. We were up in Wausau, Wisconsin, where my wife's family lives, and we're getting ready to go to this baptism when I realized that I had brought the wrong shirt. I had brought an older shirt that did not fit instead of the nice tailored shirt that I had made. So I had to go get the sweater to have something over it so that everyone at the church wouldn't see my belly.
Hey, Bone, I have this feeling that, like, you don't pay much attention to what you put on. I mean, you put on a suit that was, you know, you admitted yourself you gained 30 pounds since you last wore it, and then you forgot this nice tailored shirt. Do you give much thought as to what you wear?
I try to, but working in the power industry, I work nights, weekends, holidays, crazy hours just with a bunch of dudes. So when I'm busy at work, like we have been the last few years, it's been a shameful amount of cargo pants and printed T-shirts.
Nothing wrong with that.
I'm not necessarily proud of it. But, yeah, when I'm making appearances around, which is a new thing to me, I like to look a little better put together.
Ken, did you know that you were going to get to ask a question at the debate before you left for the day, you know, when you split your pants and all that? Or was that something you found out when you got to the debate and they just selected you?
I got to the debate at 8 in the morning, and there were 40 of us participating in the town hall. Each of us had our questions to ask, and they just got to as many as time permitted, and I'm really humbled that Anderson and Martha chose to get to my question.
What did you do from 8 in the morning until the time the debate started?
Split his pants.
Most of the time we were just kind of sequestered. We got to meet with a lot of great people from the Commission on Presidential Debates, like former Senator Jack Danforth.
Ugh. Boring.
Yeah.
Janet Brown. Ugh. Yeah. I met a lot of political people. Then we had breakfast. And then we kind of played board games for a few hours. Since we weren't allowed any electronic devices, it was a blast from the past that I'm not sure I want to repeat.
Why could they not?
It was all rehearsals and mic checks.
Wow, that's incredible. I just can't imagine. Why couldn't they let you be free for a couple hours or, you know, go out to lunch or something? What was the reason for the sequestration?
Well, primarily I think it was because they didn't want our questions to be influenced by any outside media. They didn't want any media outlets to spot us and then try to push their questions through. Nobody got to know what the questions were except for the moderators. So they wanted to keep it that way. And then secondly, there was a pretty heavy security presence, hundreds of police officers and Secret Service agents, and to leave and then come back and go through that screening again, I'm not sure we could have got it all done in time.
Hey, Ken, is that why you had the disposable camera?
Yeah, we weren't allowed any electronics, so the debate commission actually gave each of us a disposable camera so we could take some pictures after the debate. Everybody saw mine because I was walking off by myself taking pictures of the the camera and the jib crane, which I thought were neat.
Yeah.
And everyone else was busy taking pictures of Secretary Clinton. I had seen enough of Clinton and Trump. I wanted to go see the neat technical stuff.
Now, okay, so you said you saw enough of Trump and Clinton, but you did get to meet Bill Clinton, didn't you?
I got to meet President Clinton. I talked to him for about a minute until his security team kind of whisked him away. Secretary Clinton had already left, and I got the impression that she was impatiently waiting for him. He seemed to have wanted to really stay around and talk to everybody. He's a very personable guy.
Of course he did. Now, what did you say to him? You said you had about a minute with him. What did you say?
We talked a little bit about energy policy and the history of coal. I didn't want to ask him about Monica and Paula because they were there. It would have got a little uncomfortable.
Why don't you say
we had to talk about boring politics stuff.
It seems almost like you're pushing the nerd thing, Ken.
Ken?
Yeah, I mean, he already looked angry enough at me for talking that way to his lady. So I had to try to be nice to him and make amends, I think.
Why don't you say, you seen any good movies lately, President Clinton? You know, break the ice with that.
Well, just to be different, maybe.
Yeah, there's a meme floating around of him kind of giving the shady eye. And I don't know if it was really cast at me, but I thought that was one of my favorites on Twitter.
Oh, I think I could see you and Bill Clinton hanging out.
What is it like, Ken, to be
a dog and a bone?
To be literally an internet star? I mean, you are viral in every which way. And what does that feel like? Are you getting a laugh out of it? I mean, anything really upset you? It's been all good.
No, it's bizarre. I've been having a great time. I'm just trying to make this really negative and nasty political cycle into something a little more fun, something that people wouldn't mind paying attention to. And I think that's good for the process, and it's also good for somebody who's just been exposed to so much negative, boring crap.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of making it fun, you know, when you get up there and you're live, and you've got your question, and they've approved the question, and, you know, it's a good question. But at the same time, you've been watching the debate for a while, and you probably thought of a couple other questions. Was there any moment where you thought, yeah, I think I might change my question and just go up there and surprise him a little bit?
No, there is nothing. There's no mechanism in place to stop you from going off script. I really wanted to hear what they had to say about my actual issue, but it would have been really fun to maybe just get them snipping at each other again.
Oh, yeah. No, there's a lot of questions you could have asked after watching that. I mean, was there seriously something from the debate that really struck you or surprised you? I mean, Trump was going off there for a while. I mean, he had some pretty sharp, there's some pretty ugly moments in that debate, no doubt.
Yeah, I won't say that I was surprised by the negativity, even though there was quite a bit of it. I think the big surprise moment was when he kind of sprung Paula Jones and Monica Lewinsky. Nobody, at least in our area, knew they were there. That was kind of funny and kind of awkward. It was a lot of the debate was sitting and it almost felt like listening to Mom and Dad fight at Thanksgiving.
And there's poor forgotten Ken Bone sitting on the side.
Oh, boy.
And it's Thanksgiving best.
Hey, you didn't get to talk to Paula Jones or Kathleen Willey or, I mean, even introduce yourself, did you?
No, they were all gone by the time we were, you know, kind of free to move around. And they didn't really want us leaving the stage area because we had to exit back through the holding area where all of our stuff was.
Oh, boy.
Now, I'm really fascinated. So how quick did you start getting inundated with requests to do media? Was it just the second you got out of there or turned your phone on? You got your phone back?
Yeah, when I turned on my phone, I had a request from the NBC local affiliate in Dallas-Fort Worth. The producer down there is actually a friend of mine from high school. So I got to her first. And starting at about 3 in the morning, I was getting calls and emails from Jimmy Kimmel. I'm on my way to film with him now.
Wow.
I got called by Anderson Cooper at about 7. I'll be doing Anderson Cooper 360 this evening.
Why didn't Cooper just grab you after the thing? He was there.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's the bookers and producers. I don't want to step on anybody's toes. I think Anderson was kind of in a bad mood after all of the... I think Anderson was in a bit of a bad mood after all the wrangling and he had to do with the misbehaving candidate.
Yeah, that's a crummy feeling. I mean, they tried to keep control of it, but there's no way. You can't make Donald Trump stop talking. And even Hillary, she went over a bunch of times, too. I mean, that's a hopeless gig. There's no, you can't win.
yeah, it was. It was crazy. I don't really know what to say about it.
So Kimmel and then Anderson Cooper. What else is next for Ken Bone?
Well, I'm on Fox and Friends in the morning. I've got media through about noon tomorrow, I think. And then it's back to local stuff. I think I have a golf tournament on Friday with a local sports station. I'll be happy to appear there, help them raise some money.
Wait, Ken,
and,
what happened?
I'm really hoping it's back to normal life soon.
Well, what happened to Ken Bone's job?
I still have to go to work tomorrow night.
I think you can call him Bone.
All the media in between that.
Just call him and go, hey, don't forget, I'm Bone, Ken Bone. I'm not coming in today.
I don't want to have to use up all my vacation time.
You're
to,
Bone. They'll give you more vacation.
Here on the media. You'd have to take that up with my HR manager. I don't think
I'll call him.
Twitter fame is enough to get me off sick.
Who is handling scheduling for you? You surely have someone in front of you. I hope you have some people, Ken, because you're going to need some by the time this is over. Or are you handling all this yourself?
I'm taking care of it all myself. I have a notebook sitting in my passenger seat right now as I'm driving to do the Kimmel show. And then I've been all writing all this down in. My son is trying to help me wrangle the social media juggernaut. and my wife's been handling a lot of calls and coordination also.
Now, your father said that Ellen called too. I don't know if you knew that or if we're breaking news to you, Ken.
Yeah, Ellen, I wasn't able to get on Ellen's show.
You don't want to be on her bad side.
It just was a scheduling conflict. Yeah, well, we couldn't resolve a scheduling conflict. I think I was on with CNN at that same time. They had asked me first.
Your dad also answered the phone, Make America Bone Again. So are you going to start selling T-shirts that say Make America Bone Again with your face on it? Because I'd buy one.
Well, he's been saying that for years.
Well, he should trademark it ASAP.
Yeah, there's definitely some opportunities to make a quick buck, Ken. Have you thought about that?
I haven't really thought about it that much. If I could, that'd be great. But really, I'm more about boring political stuff and getting my message out there. And if maybe some local used car dealerships want to sleaze me up and put me in some radio commercials, I'd be happy to do that for them.
Ken, are you really undecided after all this time? I mean, you, like you self-admit, you're really up on politics, but you're really undecided?
I honestly am. Trump's economic policy would benefit me personally a lot more than Hillary's, but I don't really like him for social issues. I don't want some of the rights that have finally been won for some of our citizens over the last few years, like marriage equality, to be lost to a Supreme Court justice that's appointed by Trump.
Sounds like a tough decision for Ken Bone. Now, do you have a constant list of pluses and minuses for each candidate that you keep adding to as the election cycle continues?
No, it's all, I have an incredibly large head. I don't know if you picked that up on television. So I'm trying to store it all up there.
A typical bonehead.
Yeah, but Kevin, having the last name Bone had to be, I would imagine, in the childhood years, had to be difficult at times.
It was tough. It definitely was not worse on me than it was for some of my ancestors. I swear to you this is true. My uncle's name was Oral. And my great-grandfather's name was Bentley. A Bentley Bone and an Oral Bone.
Wow.
Weird. Wow.
Well, you survived nicely, Ken, and I hope you enjoy all this media. It seems like you are. We'll be looking for you on the Jimmy Kimmel Show for sure. Actually, I'm going to follow your schedule and all your appearances see how you do.
We're going to get back to you towards the election day, too, okay, to see if you finally made a decision.
Absolutely. I'll do my best to let you know.
All right,
hey, Bone.
Just remember Drew and Mark in Detroit, and we will be calling back, Ken.
All right, absolutely. It's the best show in Detroit. I listen to it every time I'm there, which unfortunately has been never.
Damn it, Bone!
Thanks, Ken.
All right, thanks. You guys have a good one. All
appreciate the time.
All right.
Adios.
Bye.
All right, there he is.
Bye-bye. He truly is the embodiment of a human hug, right?
No, he's everything that we thought he could be and more.
Seriously, I'd totally hang out with Ken Bone.
No, I'd love to have a beer with him. Absolutely. Go to a ball game with him. He's a good guy, and he's such a nerd. He's such a good nerd.
He's funny.
One of those likable nerds.
Yeah.
I mean, he's really concerned about this energy policy, which is amazing.
He works for a coal company, so it kind of makes sense, I guess.
But, you know, how many people at the coal company do you think, if they had a chance to go in the debate, would ask an energy question? I have a feeling.
Well, Drew, he's afraid of missing work tomorrow night. I mean, that he's very loyal.
I know, he's using his vacation time to appear on all these shows.
That's ridiculous. Can't the company just go, hey, you're good for the coal industry.
Well, you would
you're good
think
for our company,
so.
Bone. Get out there. Spread the word, Bone.
I mean, he's bringing so much goodwill to his company locally, you would
That's
think.
What I mean, yeah.
I mean, he's got to be front page news there.
Could you do that? Could you ask a question in a town hall meeting like that, or would you just be, like, freaked out knowing that 67 million people are watching?
Well, I would hate being locked in on a question that far before the thing, and to spend 12 hours there, 13 hours before the debate, they have to play fucking games.
Board games with a bunch of strangers. Holy cow.
Oh, how boring. Oh, my God. What, are they playing Yahtzee?
Yeah, and every time he won, he goes, you got boned, and then he flexes. They play Parcheesi. Bone wins again.
Parcheesi.
Or Bone.
Twister. Ken Bone playing chess. Twister.
Bone would be the first one out. Bonefoot yellow.
He's collapsing all over people.
Bone hand red. Everything he says is third person last name. Hey, Bone's hungry. Hey, we got any coffee here for Bone?
Wonder when he's going to get the sweater dry cleaned. He's going to have to get around to that. Pretty soon, I think.
Wouldn't it be great?
Two days in the same sweater.
You got a massive ego out of this. Just becomes a total jerk.
That's one thing I don't think is going to happen to Ken Bone. Fortunately,
he's got his big head on right.
Although his dad might get an ego. His dad seems like he's into it. Is into it as Ken is.
Yeah, make America bone again.
Yeah, boy.
That cardigan sold out. The Ken Bone red cardigan. It's sold out right now.
Hilarious.
That's gonna be the number one Halloween costume.
Oh, damn it. I had that question written down. I wanted to ask him if he was going to go as himself for Halloween.
Well, that's what he should license, is a Halloween costume.
Yeah.
Know, work with somebody, the actual Ken Bone, approved Ken but Bone Halloween costume.
Anybody can do it. Just wear khakis.
Of course.
A fake stash, carry a disposable camera. That's funny. See, people saw him taking the pictures and immediately like, oh, look at that loser with a disposable camera, not knowing that they weren't allowed any electronic devices.
All right, for part two, God, you part one people are lucky. Usually the part two crowd is just crazier. Part two, I don't know what it is.
I think
it's the audience.
Part one's going to be talking trash because Bone was on it.
Big time. Yeah, part two gets no Bone. But part two does get some highlights from Coachella. And let me tell you, I think Coachella got off to a pretty nice start considering, you know, you got some really old artists at that show. But everything I read, it sounded like people had a blast. The performances were good. People played a long time. Everybody seemed into it. I mean, how could you not be psyched up?
Yeah.
Whether it's Paul McCartney following Neil Young.
Yeah.
Or the Stones following Bob Dylan. Or, Roger Waters and The Who. And following the two people that played the night before, too. I mean, it's two concerts a night, right?
There's two concerts a night? Or is it one weekend and then another weekend? I mean, that's how they've done Coachella in the past.
I thought they did them in twos. Like you had McCartney and Neil Young were linked up.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
For Paul.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I haven't read much on old Coachella.
I thought it was like Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Can you check the schedule, Brandon? Yeah. Brandon? I could be mistaken about that. They were sort of reviewed together. That's why I thought that was the way it was set up, because of the way the reviews read.
Yeah, just like Coachella regularly, right? But two nights or three nights?
I'll check.
Yeah, check it out. Because it's two weekends also. There's a second weekend. I guess there's two different...
Okay. Hmm.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of them.
Okay. Hmm.
Sets of dates. Let's see what we got here.
So, yeah, Paul McCartney, Morrissey, Franz Ferdinand, and then about 40 other bands.
Oh, Leonard Cohen, Black Keys, Girls Talk. What?
Oh, yeah.
No shit.
That's just Friday.
Okay, so he was the headliner Friday. Oh, but is everybody else, is Dylan, the Stones, Roger Waters, are all them playing Friday too? Are you sure that's not the 2009 Coachella?
I'll double check.
Because he, Friday, April 17th. That's not what we're talking about. It's,
Because the regular Coachella.
There it
right?
is. It's right there. That's it right there. The Rolling Stones and Bob Dylan's band. October 7, 8, 9. I think the Stones and Dylan were on the 7th. McCartney and Neil Young were on the 8th. And Roger Waters and Who were on the 9th. I'm pretty sure that's how it's set up. So you got it. Yeah, it is. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Okay, that was a lot of work to find out something very simple. I don't know why. But anyway, the audio I heard was very cool. Everybody seemed really... I mean, just to see Paul McCartney and Neil Young together, they were having a blast. They played A Day in the Life into Give Peace a Chance. And then the second song they played was something from the White Album that McCartney has never played live. Does not have a guitar solo in it, but it did with Neil Young. And I thought it was pretty damn cool. And the Stones covered a Beatles song.
They did?
They sure did. So we'll have that in part two, coming right up on the Drew and Mike podcast.